Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Good morning. We're in the process, the fifth week, of a series on the will of God. We're speaking with Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place. She is also holds a master's degree in Christian studies. And Gidi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
No, I love having you on here. I find when I talk to Gidi on these days, my mind has to be really focused more than any other time, because the discussions are so, I hate to say use the word deep, but they really force me to really think about what's going on, which I don't normally have to do on the show. No offense, but I mean, some of the stuff we talk about is serious, but I don't think I have any deeper discussions with anybody ever in my life that I've had with, for instance, monks at the Abbey of New Clairvaux, who I've gotten to know, or yourself, because it really forces me, and hopefully the listeners, to really give serious contemplation about what the will of God is. And I find this, for me anyway, certainly very valuable. We want to emphasize again that when we're talking about the will of God, neither one of us are suggesting that we or anyone else truly knows the will of God.
In every situation, in every circumstance.
Okay. But certainly the Bible.
We have guidelines, yes. But how to apply those. And The woman taken in adultery is a great example of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, do not cast the first stone.
Yeah.
Unless you have, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So today we're talking about, is God's will inevitable no matter what we do? Okay.
Yeah. And so another way of asking that question is, does it matter what we do? Does it even matter? Because God's will is going to get done. Or can we affect God's will? Or does God's will always get done? These are the things we need to discuss.
That's a hard one, because everything, you could always look in the rearview mirror on this. And I'll try to explain. If you think since you don't know always what God's will is, even if you, some people say that even if somebody commits a sin, for those who love him, he makes all things good. He could even make sin be something that was good. So even if you do something wrong, perhaps it was God's, because somebody could say it was God's will for you to do something wrong, to commit a sin in order to bring you closer to him.
That goes against scripture.
So it's not a case where it's good to commit a sin because it forces you to come to God.
In fact, Paul asked that question.
Okay.
Shall we sin so that grace may abound more? And he answers it, God forbid.
Wow. Okay. I should have known that.
No. Well, it just came to mind.
Right.
So no, we cannot say that my sin and my wrongdoing is God's will. There's no way you can say that.
Okay, but you can say that your sin can have a good effect, even though it was something that was wrong.
In the hands of God, he can use everything, including my sin.
Including my sin to benefit me personally.
Yes.
As long as you know.
As I submit to him.
Submit to him and say, I don't want to sin anymore.
Yeah, as I submit to him and as I love him. Uh-huh. But that takes us back to the question, if everything is God's will, then it was God's will for Adam and Eve to sin in the garden. What do you think of that?
I think it probably was.
Okay, we've got a
Maybe
major
not.
Disagreement
okay,
here.
Okay, really? So, okay, gosh, this is fascinating. So, I don't know. Well, he left the fruit there.
So why did he even leave them a choice?
Well, then that gets to next week, which is
That's
free
right.
will.
That's
so we're getting
right.
ahead of ourselves.
We are.
Yeah.
But, you know, once we start making God responsible for sin and evil, I think we're going in the wrong direction.
Okay.
So that brings us back to the question, is God's will inevitable no matter what we do? And the way I answer that is God's will is not inevitable. That's why we pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we can thwart God's will. Now, in the big picture, he can use it all. Uh-huh. He can use all of our sin and our wrongdoing and going off in the wrong direction to bring forth good. But I don't think in the beginning, you know, at the start, it's ever God's will for us to do evil, ever. And yet we do it.
Do you think that God, because he's, you know, it has to do with time. I mean, he knows what's going to happen. He has envisioned everything that's going to happen. I sometimes wonder, would it be boring to be God? Since you already know the end result. It's like you're watching a football game, and if you know the Broncos are going to win the Super Bowl 24-10, and you know the outcome, and they're going to beat Carolina by 2 touchdowns, you go, I don't need to watch this. I'm not going to watch this.
Here's a question for you. Does God watch the football game because he's interested in the game or the outcome, or because he's interested in the people?
Yeah.
See, God is fascinated with us, and he uses circumstances, football games, work situations, family situations, marriage situations, family of origin situations. He uses all of it to work with us individually.
If we're made in his image, he would be interested in what we're doing.
Exactly.
But would he be excited about watching the final a game as though he didn't know what was going to happen?
I don't think that's his focus.
That's not his focus.
His focus is us.
Again, this is just us talking. We don't speak for God.
Exactly. God, forgive me if I'm saying any folly here.
Me too.
But I don't think his focus is on the game, is more as on the hearts of the people, on their motivations, on their actions, on their thoughts. So that, you know, the quarterback gets called a foul for a foul he didn't commit. Uh-huh. God is watching that man's heart. Okay. How will you respond to injustice? You've announced to the world that you're mine, mm-hmm. that you follow Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And now Jesus Christ was faced with injustice, and this is how he responded.
Mm-hmm.
Now you, who are advertising me as your God,
okay.
you're faced with injustice. How are you going to respond?
Makes me wonder if we entertain God in any way. We had a commercial break. But but can we entertain God?
Oh, I think so, definitely.
You think so? I think he has a sense of humor. He must. We're going to take a break. We're continuing our chat series on the will of God. Today we're talking about, is God's will inevitable no matter what we do? And we'll continue our chat with Gidi after the break.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is live local talk.
Gidi Hansen is with The Growing Place. If you have any marital problems or addictive problems, or maybe some childhood family problems, anything that you might want to talk about from a Christian perspective, although it doesn't have to be the case, but it's particularly good perhaps from a Christian perspective, you might want to give The Growing Place a call. Gidi's number there is 588-0448. You can go to tgplace.com. One of my favorite movies is called The Mission.
Me too.
Yeah, Ennio Morricone has this beautiful soundtrack, and sometimes I listen to it. It's one of the most beautiful music. And somebody wrote on YouTube on one of the viewer comments and said, if God listens to music, this is what he listens to. And I thought, and I tended to agree, but I made me wonder, is he entertained by what is accomplished? Does he listen to that music and think, boy, I really like that music? Then he listens to some of the junk that comes out nowadays and says, what a bunch of lousy music. I wonder that, too. Does he have taste in music and movies and that kind of thing?
Let me share this story that our Archbishop, who's now with the Lord, used to tell in his sermons. He said they were a group of monks, and they were not good singers. And they would chant the offices and sing the offices.
They were off key.
They were off key. They were off timing and everything. And they knew it. But they offered their worship to God. And then one day, a very, very famous tenor came to do a personal retreat at the monastery. Mm-hmm. And he began to sing the offices. And his voice was so rich and so beautiful. Mm-hmm. That one by one, the monks got silent.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next morning, the Lord spoke to the abbot, and he said, you had a visitor last night. And the abbot said, yes, we did. It was so-and-so, the famous tenor. And he said, and the Lord said, what I don't understand is why you thought a donkey's braying would be worshipful to me. It's your voices I want to hear, not the braying of a donkey. So what does that tell us about what God hears? Of course, it's a joke. Right. I don't know if this ever happened, but it tells us that God looks at our hearts. Mm-hmm. He looks at our worship. He looks at our souls. He's not impressed with the beautiful sound that a professional tenor can make if it's not accompanied by the heart and the soul of worship.
Okay, well, this is a good example because the mission music is vast, beautiful music. And I agree with you that he would, that if there was a young girl playing Gabriel's oboe, the beautiful song, and it's maybe an eight-year-old, and it comes from her heart, and it's just not very good,
yes.
You know? And I'm sure God looks at that, I'm guessing, and says, wow, that's just beautiful.
Yes.
But then there's somebody else who does it. It's the Boston Symphony does it.
Yeah.
And they do it from their heart with the love of God.
Yes.
Does God say, gosh, if I have to spend the next 5 minutes listening to either that or that, I want to listen to the beautiful Boston Symphony of this gorgeous
music. This is where we project human limitations on God.
Yes, I know we do.
God listens to all of it. He listens to the screams during a rape and a murder. He listens to music. He's listening to everything all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's caring and he's loving even the people who are far, far away from him.
You know, yeah, putting human limitations on God's will. I think that is kind of what we're getting to here. I know we've maybe deviated, but not so much.
I want to ask a question that's related to the question, is God's will inevitable no matter what we do? Another way of asking that is, can we miss God's will?
Okay.
If God's will is not inevitable, no matter what we do, is it possible to miss his will? What do you think?
Yes, I would say we're humans. We could miss his will.
I would agree.
Even if we're trying to find his will, we could still miss it.
Yes.
But why is then that's God's will to have us miss his will?
If you think everything is God's will and it's inevitable. Now, let me just put a little parenthesis here. In Islam, this type of fatalism, it's called fatalism in philosophy and in religion, the idea that no matter what you do, your destiny is set, you can think you're trying to get away from it, but even what you do to try to get away from it is part of your destiny, and no matter what you do, it's the will of God. This is what Islam is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that Christianity, at least in many parts of the body of Christ, differs with this.
Right.
Not everything is God's will. Evil is not God's will. Sin is not God's will. Injustice is not God's will. And yet it happens. Uh-huh. Can I miss God's will? You bet. And I have.
I get it. I think I get it. And you're talking about the first sin, the very first sin, if that was God's will. Because that kind of answers the question. In
yes,
many ways,
it does.
If we believe that was God's will, then that would answer that makes your decision moving forward from that point in
then
time.
Then it doesn't matter what I do or say; it's all God's will. Why do I have any responsibility at all?
Yeah. So, okay. So it comes down to, let's say, and this is maybe where we go, where I differ now, because maybe we're getting to the crux of it. As long as we're talking about something that's not sinful, does God care what we do? It's not a sin, as far as I know, to eat steak, whether it's, you know, rare or medium rare. Not a sin either way. You can eat any way you want.
Well, the blood. Remember the blood.
Well, okay. Whether you eat a quarter pounder or a Big Mac, okay? God, it's not a sin to eat a quarter pounder, and it's not a sin to eat a Big Mac. Got a break. We're going into McDonald's here now. We'll continue this chat. Does God care, since neither one is a sin, to eat a quarter pounder or a Big Mac? Does he care which one you have? And I might say he doesn't care. We'll talk about this when we come back.
We've come a long, long way together. Through the hard times.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
After celebrating.
This is Live Local Talk.
After praise you like I should.
Neither one of us really know the answer to God's will. We're just trying to have sort of some verbal brain gymnastics here, I guess, in some ways. And we're talking about the will of God. We're in the fifth week in a 10-part series on the will of God with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. By the way, if you ever want to get hold of The Growing Place, go to tgplace.com. Their phone number is 588-0448. We went to the break talking about what God cares about and doesn't care about. We do know he does not want us to sin. He does not want us to sin. But now, does he care about every choice that we make in our lives? Now, granted, as a father, I care about whether my sons go to a certain college. I care about those things. As a father, I care if he goes to a good college or a bad college, or, you know, and I care about his health. I care about his spiritual well-being, all those things. But ultimately, if he goes to McDonald's and says, okay, do you want a Big Mac or do you want a quarter pounder? I'm going to say as a father, guys, get anything you want. I don't care.
Okay.
I literally don't care. So why should God be any different as long as it's not a sin?
Okay. Well, here's an area where God may care. If the person is overweight and has high cholesterol.
Okay, let's say he doesn't. Let's say he just wants to. Okay, forget. Let's just pick something better.
Well, let me answer.
Okay,
come
okay,
on now.
Okay. All right.
Let me answer.
Okay.
You know, if it's health threatening, I think God would care.
Okay.
And no offense to McDonald's, but if a person eats there all the time, I think God would care because I think it's detrimental to your health.
You want a banana shake, or do you want a chocolate shake?
Let's make it health food. Okay. Do you want, you know, whole grain sprouted bread with this kind of topping that's very, very healthy and organic?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want whole grain sprouted with this type that's also very, very organic? Or do you want lean chicken or lean fish or something like that?
Something healthy.
I think that, you know, again, God looks at the heart. If you look with avarice and gluttony and you're as thin as a rail, but you look with lust, avarice, and gluttony at a healthy meal, and you gobble it down, I don't think God is pleased.
Okay.
Because of where your heart is at. This is what I'm trying to get at.
All right.
Is that God looks at the heart. If you eat with thanksgiving and with joy and you stop eating when you're full, I don't think it matters to God what you eat as long as it's healthful and you didn't steal or rob for it. And you know?
Okay.
So God is not, you know, he's looking at other things than what we focus on. Is my pious belief.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure. Maybe we do have a disagreement because I think that God probably wants us to have choices in our lives.
He does. But then he holds us accountable for what we choose.
Yeah.
And in that sense, he cares.
Okay.
If God says, go out and kill yourself with fat and food and I don't care, I mean, that's not the God I worship.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about a situation where it's just where it's a flavor. There's nothing wrong with eating ice cream once in a while as a treat. Does God care whether it's strawberry or vanilla? I don't think it matters.
I think it looks at the motivation of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
If there are two people there and there's only one portion of food left, see, God is looking at these things.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to think God sees things in the way we see things, and he doesn't.
But we're built in his image.
Of course we are.
So because as long as we're not sinning, I have to believe that God relates to everything.
Let's go back to my garden that I planted for the buyer.
We have about 2 minutes.
Okay. So did God care that I brought home tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers, and strawberries? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But did God care that I wanted to return the hot peppers? Yes.
Okay.
He cared about that. He cared about that enough to interrupt me and to stop me and to give me a promise and a prophecy that the person who's going to buy your house loves hot peppers and I want you to plant it for him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he didn't tell me you can't choose tomato, you can't choose cucumber, you can't choose sweet peppers.
But you believe you were inspired by God. You think God inspired you to make those choices.
I did, and it ended up being true. And the only person who came traipsing through our house in for 9 months that liked hot peppers was the buyer.
I find myself, when I think of these philosophical things, and again, and this is probably a weakness on my part, and this may be where we disagree, is I relate everything to, not that I am God, but I view myself as the fatherly role in God's role with the family and letting in ordering decisions that they make in their lives, and whether or not they have a strawberry shake or a vanilla shake, I would be in the area.
I'm in total agreement with that, in that God said, you know, he didn't say anything about the tomatoes, the cucumbers. Mm. I could have brought home okra, string beans, you know, whatever. It didn't. He didn't tell me these are the plants you must plant.
Yeah.
But he did tell me keep this one.
Right.
Because it's going to mean something to that guy. Because God is looking at the heart.
So you believe that in our overall discussion, does God care about, basically, is God's... well, we've actually moved on as God's will interested in every detail of our lives. We talked about is God's will inevitable no matter what we do, and we kind of got sidetracked here. But
yeah,
in a way,
just remember, if you think God's will is inevitable no matter what we do, you're a good candidate for Islam,
right?
Because that kind of fatalism is what Islam embraces.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
And I'm not judging anybody who believes that. And I know there are Christians who believe it as well as Muslims. But I'm just telling you, this is a way of asking, are you a fatalist?
Right.
Is God's will inevitable no matter what we do?
And I think the answer is, I think, is no. It's not. I think you're right. But I think that's partly because we have decisions to make on our own. God gives us the power to make those decisions and
exactly.
Gives us the free will.
Exactly.
And then it comes back down, does he care about the little minutiae of our lives? Well, this is really difficult for me to grasp around. This is the end of the show, because it goes so fast when it gets so fascinating. We're going to be back next week to continue this discussion. Gidi, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Gidi Hansen with The Growing Place. We're talking about the will of God. Neither one of us know. We're just having an interesting discussion. We hope you'll join us next week. Is there such a thing as human free will? We kind of touched on that a little bit already. We're going to continue our chat with Gidi right after, next week, next Wednesday. So long, everybody.